Exodus 15, beginning with verse 1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to Yahweh and spoke, saying, I will sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Yahweh is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. Till your people pass over, O Yahweh, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. In the place, O Yahweh, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. Yahweh shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and Yahweh brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Tonight we are going to look at the Song of Moses as it is found in Exodus 15. In some ways, I feel more qualified to preach on this passage than on many others, because I have personally passed through the Red Sea, and I have personally met Moses. You find that hard to believe? Well, I've experienced something of the Hollywood equivalent of these things. On a childhood family vacation that took us to Los Angeles, I rode on a tram at Universal Studios through the replica Red Sea that was used in the filming of the movie The Ten Commandments. And as we approached the water, Hollywood's magic went into action as two walls rose up, dividing the waters. It made a pathway, and we passed through. As for Moses, I got to meet Charlton Heston years ago at a bookseller's convention. And he was a tall, imposing guy. And I have to tell you that when I shook his hand, I had a strange sense that I was shaking hands with Moses. Well, such was my brush with modern cinema's take on this biblical event. Now, I've watched the movie, and I can tell you, as is often the case, the book is better. Okay? And it is to the book that we are going to turn tonight. As we look at the Song of Moses found in Exodus 15, our entry point will be the first half of verse 2 and the three assertions made there about the Lord. Yahweh is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. We're going to have 4 points tonight, but the first three come from that. Yahweh is my strength, Yahweh is my song, Yahweh is my salvation. And we'll look at these statements in their original context in Moses' song, and then we'll consider broader applications in Scripture And in our lives, under a final heading, the fourth point will be singing the song of Moses today and forever. So Yahweh is my strength, Yahweh is my song, Yahweh is my salvation, singing the song of Moses today and forever. It is my conviction that the song of Moses should ever be considered contemporary Christian music. All right, we begin with Yahweh is my strength. Exodus 15 follows immediately upon the record of God's miraculous deliverance of the children of Israel through the waters of the Red Sea in chapter 14. You'll recall that after the Israelites left Egypt, Pharaoh sent an army in pursuit, and soon the Israelites seemed to be trapped between the Red Sea and the advancing enemy. And we'll pick up that account in Exodus 14. It's good for us just to review this. Exodus 14, beginning in verse 15. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that Yahweh looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for Yahweh fights for them against the Egyptians." Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So Yahweh overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So Yahweh saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which Yahweh had done in Egypt. So the people feared Yahweh and believed Yahweh and his servant Moses. And the sequel to their deliverance was celebration. Exodus 15:1, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to Yahweh and spoke, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." And the next line in the original reads, "My strength and song is Yahweh." Moses and the Israelites knew without a doubt that it was the Lord's strength, not their own, that had delivered them from the Egyptians through the Red Sea. How had the Lord demonstrated his strength on their behalf? Well, two specific ways are highlighted. First of all, Yahweh parted the waters. Verse 8, "And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea." Verse 10, "You blew with your wind. The sea covered them." Now, the east wind that blew all night was no ordinary meteorological occurrence. Moses sings to the Lord, "You blew your wind, which was the blast of your nostrils." Now, this is anthropomorphic imagery. That's when we use the categories of human beings to describe something about God, though we recognize that they're not literally true of God. But we are not to picture God as literally blowing wind out of his nostrils. Or perhaps, I should say, we are to picture this, understanding that such poetic imagery points to deep truth. God uses secondary causes, in this case the east wind, to accomplish his sovereign purposes. But the Song of Moses calls us always to remember the Lord is the first cause of all things. Yahweh demonstrated his strength to his people by sending a wind to part the waters of the Red Sea that they might pass through. So Yahweh parted the waters, and then secondly, he showed his strength when Yahweh destroyed the Egyptian army. Hear now from chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And also in verse 12, you stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. Now we read in Exodus chapter 14, verse 27, that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. But there's no power inherent in the hand of Moses. And he himself acknowledged the source of strength in verse 6. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And verse 12, again, you stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. And that last phrase, the earth swallowed them, is a reference to the grave. It was Yahweh's right hand, his power, that defeated the Egyptians. And these were the Egyptians who had increased the labor of the Israelites by making them gather stubble for straw to make bricks. And now we're told the wrath of the Lord has consumed them like stubble. These were the Egyptians who had witnessed their rods turned to serpents, swallowed up by Aaron's rod turned to serpent. And now they themselves are swallowed by the earth when Yahweh stretches out his right hand. The strength of the Egyptian army, though it was probably the greatest on the earth at that time, was as nothing before the strength of the Lord. Moses and the Israelites had witnessed the strength of Yahweh in the parting of the waters and in the destruction of their enemies. They took no credit for themselves. They gave no credit to nature. Instead, they sang, Yahweh, the Lord is my strength. But our second point is Yahweh is my song, because we read in verse 2, Yahweh is my strength and song. The natural response of the human heart to the exercise of God's strength on one's behalf is praise in song. Now, the strength of the Lord is linked to such song in other portions of Scripture. Psalm 59, 17. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. He's my strength, therefore I sing praises. Psalm 28, 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Now, Moses knew this principle, and he responded to the display of God's strength by composing the song in Exodus 15. It is a song of the Lord's triumph. I will sing unto Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. God is the subject of the song, and the glory of God is the aim of the song. The song was infectious and was soon picked up by Miriam, as we read in verses 20 through 21. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances, and Miriam answered them, sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Having witnessed the Lord's strength, Moses, Miriam, and all the Israelites made Yahweh their song. And then thirdly, Yahweh has become my salvation. Exodus 15:2 continues in the original, and he has become to me for salvation. The Lord's strength was not exercised merely as some random display of miraculous power. There was a purpose, and that purpose is celebrated in the Song of Moses. Verse 13, you in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. And verse 16, till your people pass over, O Yahweh, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. The Lord's purchase of his people, his redemption of his people, is grounded in covenant promises. This was explained to Moses as we find in Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 7. You read those verses, Exodus 6, beginning with verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name Yahweh I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am Yahweh. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you out from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Remember that at the time of the Exodus, Israel had been enslaved in Egypt for around 400 years. The yoke of bondage was strong, and there was nothing they themselves could do about it. They needed to be redeemed from their slavery, purchased by one powerful enough to do so. And that is what the Lord did. He accomplished their salvation from slavery. As we've already noted, this was all the work of the Lord. As Calvin writes, to say that God had become their salvation was as much as to say that the people were saved by his grace. This salvation was not a mere fact of past history for the people. It pointed to God's continuing faithfulness in the future. Again, Calvin speaks of this future orientation in his comments on verse 13. Moses therefore exhorts the people to proceed to their promised land boldly and joyfully, because God will not forsake his work in the midst of it. And on this account, he expressly mentions their redemption, as though he had said that the people were not in vain delivered from impending death, but that God, as he had begun, would be their constant guide. Their deliverance through the Red Sea was to assure the Israelites that God would be faithful to his promise to deliver them into the promised land. Yahweh is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. With these words, Moses and the Israelites celebrated God's triumph over the Egyptians at the Red Sea. They gave all the glory to the Lord. They rejoiced in him. And the Exodus from Egypt is the paradigmatic event of salvation in the Old Testament. It is not surprising that we find the refrain of Exodus 15:2 elsewhere in Scripture. When the psalmist is surrounded by enemies in Psalm 118, he declares, Yahweh is my strength and song, he has become my salvation. When the prophet Isaiah looks forward to the coming of the root of Jesse, the Messiah, he declares in Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. And these words may be taken on the lips of any Christian believer. So let's reflect upon what it would mean for us to do so. That brings us to our final point, singing the song of Moses today and forever. In his death and resurrection, Jesus accomplished a new exodus on behalf of his people. He was the prophesied prophet like unto Moses who delivered his people from slavery, but this time it was slavery to sin. And when we understand our own salvation in this light as a greater exodus, we see how appropriate it is to take Exodus 15:2 on our lips. We too can say, "The Lord is my strength." When we consider our own lives, we can join with Moses in attributing all that is good to the strength of the Lord. And are we able to accomplish anything good apart from God? The Apostle Paul would answer negatively in the words of Romans 3:10 through 12. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." As Paul asks in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "What do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" You see, from start to finish, the Christian life is a life of grace. It is all of grace, not of works, so that no one may boast. It is God who is at work in us. Now, do you grasp that truth? Do you realize that all your righteousness is as filthy rags, but the Lord still accepts you because He accepts you in Christ? And accepting you in Christ, He then works good things in you and through you. Recognizing these truths, we may turn away from ourselves and declare, "The Lord is my strength." But also, "The Lord is my song." If we recognize the strength of the Lord in our lives, then we will want to respond in praise to Him. We will want to respond as Moses did. This is something Francis Schaeffer learned. Early in his ministry, he went through a period of doubt and darkness as he sensed the reality of his Christian walk was something less than it once had been. And he says that he tried to rethink everything about Christian teaching and his own commitment to it. And he later wrote about that time, "I searched through what the Bible said concerning reality as a Christian. Gradually, I saw that the problem was that with all the teaching I had received after I was a Christian, I had heard little about what the Bible says about the meaning of the finished work of Christ for our present lives. Gradually, the sun came out and the song came. Interestingly enough, although I had written no poetry for many years, in that time of joy and song, I found poetry beginning to flow again, poetry of certainty and affirmation of life, thanksgiving and praise. Admittedly, as poetry, it is very poor, but it expressed a song in my heart, which was wonderful to me." And do you hear what Schaeffer says? When he caught afresh the vision of what Christ meant for his life, he entered into a time of joy and song, and he even wrote poetry expressing the song in his heart. Seeing the strength of the Lord, he could declare that the Lord was his song. Paul teaches that songs are to characterize our lives together as Christians. He writes in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." What are the songs in your heart? Are they only the latest songs on pop radio or the country charts? Are they only the same songs on the hearts of your unbelieving neighbors? Now, I believe all musical gifts come from the Lord and that we have the freedom to enjoy all kinds of music, including much music that made by unbelievers. We don't need to restrict our musical fare to songs of praise to the Lord. But if the Lord is your song, then surely your diet, your musical diet will include songs of praise to Him. This will include singing psalms and hymns with God's people during Lord's Day worship, but that should be not the only time for such praise. There should be opportunities to sing daily as you reflect upon the Lord's strength exercised on your behalf through the work of Christ. You certainly know many songs and hymns and praise songs by heart. You might sing those out sometimes. You might every once in a while purchase some new quality recordings that can help you learn more songs that become your songs of praise to the Lord. If we are a thankful people, then we ought to be a singing people. The Lord is our song. And then thirdly, the Lord has become my salvation. Jesus is the second Moses, the greater Moses who has led a greater exodus. By bearing the sins of his people on the cross, he made it possible for us to escape the wrath of God. And by living a perfect life, he made it possible for his righteousness to be imputed to us that we might be reconciled to God. Salvation is ours through faith in Christ. It is all of Christ and all of grace. And in this way, we have been freed from slavery, as Paul explains in Romans 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. As with the Israelites, the salvation wrought for us by the Lord is not just a matter of past history. To say that the Lord has become my salvation means that he is dealing faithfully with me now according to his covenant promises, and that he will do so forever. We can have confidence, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will what? Complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Israelites of old were looking forward to the promised land. But the writer to the Hebrews teaches us that even Abraham was looking beyond that earthly land for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Because of what Christ has done for us in history, we anticipate eternity with him. And for eternity, we will be able to sing, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." In the book of Revelation, we get a peek into the heavenly music of the future. Revelation 15:3. They sing the song of Moses. Not just Old Testament Israel, right? In heaven, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations." You see, the song of Moses is joined with the song of the second Moses, the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He is the strength, the song, and the salvation of his people, and we will praise him forever. As I look back, it is no big deal to experience Hollywood's cheap imitation of a divine miracle. And it is no big deal to meet an actor who merely played the part of Moses in a film. All of us who have trusted in Christ have experienced our own walk through the Red Sea as Jesus led a new exodus by his death, resurrection, and ascension. We have been delivered from slavery to sin. And we have met the second Moses, the greater Moses, Jesus Christ himself. Let us declare now and look forward to singing for all eternity, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation."